Kia ora koutou, you're with Stephen Day here from the Tertiary Education Union, and I'm here with some of the Auckland branch at the TEU annual conference. I've got John Egan, who's co-branch president, and Antonia Verstappen, also from the branch.
Just to start with, I want to ask, we've heard some stories from the conference over the last day about some of the struggles that professional staff have had getting pay increments or pay rises, and I'd just like you to talk me through what's it like as a professional staff member at Auckland University to get a pay rise.
Well, it's interesting because on the academic side, each job has between 4 and 11 levels. But on the professional side, you're basically hired at a level and at your wage. And unless there's an increase negotiated through the collective, or you're the one of 8% of people who work as professional staff who get a performance increment, you have no advancement and no increase in your salary. So your role actually doesn't matter.
Yeah, so that differs from the way that academic salaries move. So academics have a scale which they progress through each year, really as, you know, in recognition of, you know, an extra year of experience in their role. And so professional staff don't have access to movements through a salary scale in that way.
So we heard yesterday from one Auckland professional staff member who said she had been working at the university for 12 years and had not had a pay rise. That wouldn't be an uncommon story?
Aside from whatever we negotiate through the collective, no, that's not an uncommon story, and that's one of the that's why it's a focus of this year's negotiations.
Yeah. One of the themes that's been coming through from the negotiations and the action that surrounded them is the strength with which academics have got behind this campaign. What does this professional staff pay issue mean more broadly for the academic community at Auckland?
Well, it depends, because I mean, a lot of members, I'm an academic member, we actually look at our professional staff colleagues as our colleagues. We see ourselves working as part of a team. And it's become really starkly clear in the last few years that we have one part of the team that is undervalued, overworked, underappreciated, undercompensated, and the other whose working conditions are much, much better. And most of us have a great deal of empathy for that and feel badly about our colleagues being taken advantage of.
One of the things that I've noticed coming through from the strike action that's been going on is that it's really brought the issue of workload to the surface. And I just wondered if you could tell me about the experiences of having this kind of big branch discussion around workload that's kind of emerged as people have been going home on time.
Yeah, so that's our current sort of strike action, I guess, if that's what you want to call it. So what we're currently doing is all of our members, whether they're professional or academic staff, are just sticking to the hours that they're working. So for professional staff, that's 37 and a half hours a week. For academics, that's 40 hours a week, or pro rata for, you know, if you're a part-time staff member. And so what that means is that all of our members are, you know, taking their breaks, taking their tea breaks, actually having lunch breaks, and going home on time and making sure that they're just prioritising their work in terms of what they need to get done in the time that they're contracted to do that. So what we've seen is, it's been really good, I think, for getting teams of people around the university and the different service divisions or the different departments to kind of band together, and they're going and taking their breaks together. And it's been really good for sort of, you know, the social element of the workplace. People are seeing each other a lot more and talking to each other more. We're seeing lots of groups, come into work together and then leave on time together as a team, and it's been really nice to see, I think.
I think there's been two very particular outcomes in addition to what Antonia said that are interesting. One of them is it has made it really abundantly clear to people that the university simply cannot operate without the added labor that all of our members provide. But the other is just how much extra time, and in some members it's been very obvious, but for others they don't realize just how much their personal time has crept slowly, slowly away from them over the time they worked at the university. We had a one-hour job action where the employer decided to dock our pay for that hour, and what that inspired was a tsunami of emails from staff talking about the 40, 50 sometimes hours extra they work every week to make sure the research lab runs, to make sure the students are ready for things, to make sure examinations are ready for the examinations period coming up. It's really put into large focus that the university has this staffing model that is based on really the exploitation of the staff that work there.
Yeah, and really that the university can only really run as well as it does, you know, based on the goodwill of the staff and the staff putting in so many extra hours every single week.
Yeah, to the detriment of their family life, to the detriment of their other aspirations besides their work life.
Yeah.
And in some cases, to the detriment of their health, because you can't work 80 hours a week for 48 hours a year and not pay a price health-wise.